Today's daf is Sukkah daf Vav. Today's shir is sponsored by Glenn Bachna to commemorate the yahrzeit of his mother, Yehudit Miriam Bat Yoel. May the learning be an aliyah for her neshama, and we thank Glenn, who's here, there he is. We thank you very much for the sponsorship. The neshama should have an aliyah. Today we're holding a daf Vav. Today we're learning daf Vav. We left off yesterday by pointing out the entire daf yesterday was about what the source is for the minimum shear of 10 tefachim for a sukkah. And at the very end, we suggested that if we can't learn from the Arun, because we hold the amos of the Arun are being described in 5 tefach amos as opposed to 6 tefach amos, so if we cannot learn from the Arun, we have to assume that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. And we had the comment of Reb Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, that shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin are all halacha l'moshe misinai. So in today's daf, we take apart that statement. Is that really true that shiurin are halacha l'moshe misinai? Is it really true that chatzitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai? And regarding which halachas of mechitzin do we assume that it's halacha l'moshe misinai? So that takes us through pretty much the top of Amud Beis, and then on Amud Beis the Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas about how many walls a sukkah requires. Machlokas tanaim: does a sukkah need 2+ walls? Or does it need 3+ walls? And we're going to have 5 different suggestions as to what that machlokas is really about, whether a sukkah needs 2+ or 3+ walls. So let's pick up again from the bottom of daf Hey Amud Beis, where we just said that the Amar Reb Chiya Barashi Amar Rav Shiurin Chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha l'moshe misinai. So first of all, Rashi on that line, shiurin, Rashi points out shiurin shel isurin kigon kezayis lekol achilas isur u'kukusavus liyom ha-kipurim. Rashi says, what do we mean that shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai? When it comes to shiurim of isur, like the fact that a kezayis of all achilas isur, of achilas nevela and treifa and all of those things, you're only chayiv if you eat a kezayis, or the shiur of a kusavus and yom ha-kipurim. Chayis is a little bit bothered. And what about kezayis of mitzvos? What about the mitzvah of achilas matzah also needs a kezayis? What about the mitzvah of achilas korban pesach also needs a kezayis? Why is it only kezayis shel isurin? It only relates to kezayis shel isurin. So I don't remember where I saw, but I saw some of the achronim suggest that based on the Rosh Maseches Baba Kama, that halacha l'moshe misinai always needs to come, always comes to be mekel. That halacha l'moshe misinai never comes to add a chumrah, it always comes to be mekel. So one could have asked, wait a second, what would I have assumed had it not said that that halacha l'moshe misinai had not taught me that the definition of achila is kezayis? So probably I would have assumed that even a mashu is called achila, no matter how tiny an amount you eat. Well, wait a second, isn't that a chumrah then? Because I would have been able to just take a little tiny bite of matzah, and I would have been able to eat the mitzvah of matzah. Now comes along the halacha l'moshe misinai, and it tells me that I have to eat an entire kezayis in order to be able to eat the mitzvah of matzah. It's a chumrah. I thought the Rosh says, you know, that halacha l'moshe misinai doesn't come to be machmir. So maybe that's what Rashi's driving at, that the halacha Moshe Misinai over here defines what achila is. And don't ask Kasha that's a chumrah legabe mitzvos, because fundamentally this halacha relates to isurim, elamai. Once it's defining achila, it has a carryover effect for mitzvos as well, that's the definition of achila. But fundamentally, this is a tremendous kula, because had I not had the halacha l'moshe misinai, I would have said that if I eat a mashu of nevela, a mashu of trefa, I'm already chayiv. Comes along the halacha l'moshe misinai and is mekel, shirin shali surim. When it comes to Isser, it's halacha l'moshe misinai that I'm only going to be chayiv if I violate the Isser in a larger measure. Now, we just had a Gemara not that long ago, at the end of Maseches Yuma and Daf Peyam and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Shiurin shal onshin are halacha l'moshe misinai, but acherim omrim bezdino shal yaivitz tiknum. A machlokas in the Gemara, whether the shiurim of onshin are halacha l'moshe misinai, or is was mesukun by bezdino shal yaivitz, which is a snil ben kanaz. So the Gemara says, aye, but doesn't the pasuk say Eila Hamitzvos Shei Navi Rashi L'Chadesh Dovar Me'ata, that a Navi is not allowed to make up new halachos? How can you say that Bezin Shal Yavitz Tiknum? So El Shachum V'Chazru V'Yastum, that no, that even the Acherim hold that it was originally Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's just a question: was it forgotten? That the Acherim hold that it was forgotten, and then Snil Ben Kenaz came along and he reinstituted all of those Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that were forgotten. So ask the Brisker Rav, L'may Nafkamina, in his Kuntras and Yuma, he says, L'may Nafkamina, whether it was originally Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it always stayed that way, or is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was forgotten and then was reinstituted by Yisneel ben Kenaz. Either way, it's still Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It all starts in the same place. So the Brisker Rav suggests a Chiddush. There's a much celebrated comment of the Rambam. It appears in Hilchos Mamrim, but more detailed, more elaborate detail in Sakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Rambam mentions the idea that by Halacha L'Moshe Misinai there's no machlokas, that we can't ever have a machlokas by Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Says the Brisker Rav, that's if it's pure Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Throughout Jewish history, it's always been Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and the way we still know it is purely from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's where we say that there can't be any machlokas. But that which was forgotten, that Asniel ben Kenaz was machzir bilpilpulo, that he brought back with his sharpness and his figuring it out, so in such a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it could be that it is subject to machlokas. So he says that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and the Acherim. And based on that, Rav David Soloveitchik points out that the Gemara Maseches Tzmura says that Amru lo Yoshua and to Pinchas, they said to ask for the 3,000 halachas that were forgotten, Bimei Evlo Shel Moshe, and they said Lo Bashamayimi. No, we can't ask for it. It's Lo Bashamayimi. So they said to Shmuel and to Elazar, Sha'al Amlam Ela Mitzvah Shein Navi Rashi LeChadish Dov Me'ata. No, we can't ask for it. And Navi's not allowed to make up anything new. So ask from David Soloveitchik. Wait a second. I understand Yoshua, Pinchas, Elazar. They could ask for these halachas that were forgotten because that was before Asniel ben Kenaz was machzir bilpulpulo. But Shmuel, what are they asking from Shmuel that he should be machzir the halachas? Asniel ben Kenaz already took care of it. He came earlier in history than Shmuel. So what do they need Shmuel to be machzir the halachas? Al yedei nevuah. So that's what he says. Maybe based on the Brisker Rav, it makes sense that when Asniel ben Kenaz was machzir them, but it was machzir in a weaker form, in a weaker strain, because now these halachas are subject to machlokas. Some of the details could be subject to machlokas. But they asked Shmuel, no, bring it back to the way it was. Bring back those alpin nevuah so that it won't even be subject to any sort of machlokas. So anyway, so the Gemara asks over here, shiurin da'oraisa ninu. How can you say that shiur is only halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that all shiurim are only halacha L'Moshe Misinai? It's not so. We know that the shiurim are da'oraisa. Because the pasuk says Eretz Chito Sa'ora V'Gefen Utein of Rimon Eretz Yishevin Udvash, that the pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael by all of the seven minim with which Eretz Yisrael is praised with. Amar Rav Chanan Kala Pasuk Hazel Shiurin Emar, and Rav Chanan says that this entire pasuk relates to Shiurim in one way or another. As Rashi points out, Hapasuk Medaber B'Shivcha Shel Eretz Yisrael Sha'afilu B'Divrei Torah Tzrichel Nishar B'Peruseha. So he says that what's the great Shavach of Eretz Yisrael over here? That even when it comes to Torah, when it comes to trying to figure out Halacha, we use as our starting point, we use as our frame of reference, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's how special Eretz Yisrael is, that we're trying to figure out Hashem's Torah, the frame of reference are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So all of these words in the Pasuk, and we're going to go through one by one, each of these words in the pasuk relates to a different shiur, but the bottom line is we're going to see that if all of these shiurim are derived straight from a pasuk, it's not a lechel Moshe Misinai. It's a drasha d'oraisa. These are real dinim d'oraisa. Chassam Sofer in the tshuva quotes from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger asked that if even if shiurim are learned out from pasuk, we would still require halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because without the halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we would assume about a shiur that rubo kikula, like we do in Kol HaTorah Kula. Maybe we need the halacha L'Moshe Misinai to tell me not to say rubo kikula over here. So even if you do derive all of these shiurim from the pasuk, but anything you derive from the pasuk is subject to normal rules of halacha, one of which is rubo kikula. So maybe that's what the halacha L'Moshe Misinai is required for over here. What's the Gemara asking? How can we say it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? It's a pasuk. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's a pasuk and it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai comes to add that prat of rubo kikulo. So the Chassam Sofer in Chuvin Chelik Aleph or Chaim Sim Kuf Mem says that no, it's not even a hava mina to apply rubo kikulo to shiurim. He says, when do we say a din of rubo kikulo? That's only when the rove of kulo is bifaneinu, when all of it is in front of us. So we say the miut is holei chacharov. What's the source of Rubo Kukulo? You have a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin has 23 judges and 13 vote that the guy should be chayiv and 10 vote that the guy should be pater. So he's chayiv, Rubo Kukulo, that Achre Ram Lahato. So we view it as if the psak din of this Sanhedrin, of this Beis Din, was that he's chayiv. What do you mean the psak din of this Beis Din? It's the psak din of certain members of this Beis Din. No, once you have the rove, so it's Rubo Kukulo, but that's when you have the whole Beis Din in front of you. So that's where we say Rubo Kukulo. When it comes to a minion for a Dover Sheba Kedusha, if seven people didn't hear Kaddish and Baruch Hu, so the miyut is Nimshach HaCharov, and you could say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. But if seven people get together, you can't just say Dvarim Sheba Kedusha. You need Kulo in front of you. You need a minion there to begin with. Then you could start saying Dvarim Sheba Kedusha. But so Rubo Kukulo doesn't just apply wherever you have a rove. You need a rove of a kol. The kol needs to be there. They don't all need to be on board, but they all need to be present at least. So that's what the Chasam Sofer answered for Shlomo Kluger's Kasha. So let's go through one by one. What are the shiurim that we see from this pasuk? Chita, when it talks about chita, it talks about wheat. That's the bayis hamenuga. That's a halacha in a house that has tzara'as. In what way? Ditzan, the Mishnah says as follows. Hanichnas the bayis hamenuga. If a person enters a house that is afflicted with tzara'as, v'kelev al ksefav, and his clothing is flung over his shoulder, v'sandala v'taba'os of biyado, and he's holding in his hands his shoes and his rings. So he's not wearing anything in the normal way, meaning of these kelev that we're discussing, their tumah status, he's not wearing them in the normal way. He's holding them, he's carrying them, but he's not wearing them. Halacha is, hu vehein tamein miyad. Both he and the kelim that he carries in with him are immediately tamei. But what about the clothing that he's wearing? Hayalavush kelav v'sandalav baraglav v'tabosav betzbaosav. But if he's wearing his clothing and his shoes are on his feet and his rings are on his fingers, so hu tamei miyad, he becomes tamei immediately upon entering the house. V'hein tarim ad shiyisha b'kdeyachilis pras paschit in lo pasar and mesav ochel b'liftan. But all of these other items that he's wearing are considered to be tahar until he remains in the house long enough that it would take to eat a pras of wheat bread, that's the chitin, of wheat bread, not barley bread. If he eats it in a normal mesav manner, in the manner that people eat when they're focused on eating, va'ochel b'liftan, eats it with a little bit of liftan to make it go down easier. Now Rashi points out, mesav, what does mesav mean? Dahainu derech achila. Very important in the sugyim psachim of Haseba and of Kufchas. So we often think of, when we relate to Haseba, we often relate to it from a modern perspective. So we look at Haseba as like this elaborate thing that's so unusual to do, to sit in such a way. And even if even though we find it uncomfortable, we relate to that as that's Derech HaMalachim, because it's so unusual that only a king would eat this way. Rashi points out it's not really something that only a king would eat this way. It's just that a king would eat no other way. That this is Derech it means that if you're doing Haseba, if you are Mesav, it means that you're really eating and you're not doing a million other things while you're eating. You're focused on your meal and your meal alone. That is the definition, or part of the definition at least, of Haseba. For the rest of the definition, you have to consult the Sugya in Psachim Daf Kuf Ches. So anyway, so that's the din of chitim, that if you're wearing your clothing and your rings and your shoes, so they only become tamei when you go into a house that has tzaras, if you wait there long enough to eat a pras pas chitin and not pas sa'orin, in the relaxed kind of way of eating. Now there is a discussion, the Acharonim, Shor Mitzvah and Balacha always points out, whenever we talk about sandalav, whenever it comes up in the context of a fully dressed person, whether a fully dressed person includes shoes or doesn't include shoes, is shoes considered a beged or is it not considered a beged? Is it a malbush or is it not considered a malbush? So in the Sefer Emek Sukkah, is quoted over here in the Masifta, he says that we see that taba'as is considered a beged, and the rings are considered a beged because it says that you're wearing your clothing, including your regular clothing, your shoes, and your rings. So Nafkamini says, "Linin lo sachbol beged almana," that you're not supposed to take the beged of an almana when you're as a collateral when she owes you money. So that would include her jewelry as well. That would include her rings and her shoes as well. And the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, he says the same is true if a woman was makabel on herself not to to wear the begadim that she normally wears on Yantif. For whatever reason, she decided to take such a neder. So that would mean she wouldn't be allowed to wear her Yantif jewelry either, or her Yantif shoes either. So the Shvos Yaakov says, you see, that shoes, jewelry, all of this is considered bechlal malbush. And that's against the sheet of the Shar Ephraim. The Shar Ephraim tries to suggest, he proves based on the Mishnah, Masech Sanhedrin, that shoes are not Bechal Malbush. In Gilyon HaShas, Rav Yosef Engel rejects the Shvos Yaakov, and he says, Adrabah, from the Lashon of the Tana over here, it sounds like the rings and the shoes are not Bechal Malbush, because what does it say? Hayolavush Kalev, you're wearing your Kalev. And Visandalov Baraglov, it doesn't say Lavush Sandalov, it doesn't say Lavush Taba'osav, it uses a different way, a different word to describe how one dons his rings and shoes. So it sounds like it's not a din of Malbush, that it wouldn't have a status of a Malbush. Okay, so that's in terms of whether that's a Malbush. But the Iker point over here is that the shear is defined as Achilas Pras Paschitin. How much is a Pras? It's a Machlokas Tanoim. What a Pras is exactly, it appears in Maseches Erevin, Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. How much a Pras is a Chati Kikar. The question is, how much is a Kikar? A Pras is half a loaf. Question is, how large is a loaf? The sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that a kikar is 8 beitzim, and therefore a pras is 4 beitzim, and that's the sheet of Rashi, and that's the sheet of the Tur in Or Chaim Sim Tafresh Yud Beis, whereas the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Broka is that a kikar is 6 beitzim, and therefore it would turn out that a pras is 3 beitzim, and that's the sheet of the Rambam in several places, in Hilchos Shvi Zasar, in Hilchos Machal Surus, in Hilchos Tzumas Saras, all over the place. The Rambam assumes that a pras is 3 beitzim. So how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Yud Beis quotes both deos. Mishnah Berurah says though that linyan halacha on a din d'oraisa we should go with the more machmir opinion, and din d'rabbanan we can go with the more makil opinion. So how long do you have to eat your matzah in? So since on dinim d'oraisa we're going to be more machmir, you have to eat kazayis a matzah, let's say bichdei achilas pras. So you have to eat it within the amount of time that it takes to eat 3 beitzim, not 4 beitzim. How long do you have to eat your maror? Well, maror bizman hazeh is only drabanan. Bizman shabes mikdash haikayim, when we had carbon pesach, it was daraisa, but now it's only drabanan. So you would have the amount of time that it takes to eat 4 beitzim. So it depends on dinim drabanan versus dinim daraisa. How are we mishayer kedei achilas pras paschit? And some people eat a little faster, some people eat it a little slower. Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, says that the shear is measured by Adam Beinoni, not Kol Adam Lefi Shear Achilaso, not each person based on how quickly he eats, but just based on how quickly the average person would eat a pras chitin. His raya is that there's a Mishnah Maseches Kelim that's quoted in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Lamed that goes through all the different things that are subjective to the person, and the Mishnah talks about Hakol Vi Mashu Adam Melo Kumtzo Mincha, the Kmitza for a Kaber Mincha, Melo Chafnav Ketores, the handfuls of a Ketores, Shosu Melo Lugma Biyom HaKippurim, how large is your Melo Lugma depends on you, doesn't depend on the average Melo Lugma. All of these halachos are dependent on each individual person, and on that list is not Kedei Achilas Pras. So the absence of Kedei Achilas Pras from that list suggests that it's not subjective to the person, that there is an objective shear of Kedei Achilas Pras. The Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree. The Mishnah Berurah Tafresh Yud Ches of Kol Chafalv says that a chola before Yom Kippur, if he knows that he's going to have to eat on Yom Kippur and he wants to have Pachas Mikshir, he should test himself how long it takes him to eat a Pras Pas beforehand, so he can know what his shear Kedei Achilas Pras is. Much like we recommend the chola tests his own malalugmav, so you could know what, typically we don't recommend that. Typically what we just tell them to do is go with a very small malalugmav, and usually that's enough. We tell them to take a little shot glass or something, a 1 ounce shot glass, because no one's malalugmav is that small. So, but really, Meikra Din, what he could do is he could test the malalugmav, Mishabura says, on himself. So he suggests testing the Achilles Pras. Minchas Chinuch says, no, there's no testing. It's based on the average person. It's not based on the individual. Minchas Chinuch also writes that it's only with regard to waiting in a Beis Hamanuga that the shear is pras chitin, but by other isurim the shear of kedei achilas pras is kedei achilas pras of that particular food that you are eating. He says that's why none of the poskim, none of the rishonim ever really gave a time frame for kedei achilas pras. Why didn't they tell us how long does it take? How many minutes is it? No one gave a time frame. They just assumed kedei achilas pras because it really depends. Kedei achilas pras of matzah is a lot longer than kedei achilas pras of challah. It takes a lot longer to digest matzah. So it's all based on the type of food. Granted, we don't, the Minchas Chinuch thinks we don't change it based on the person in terms of how quickly he eats, but we do change it based on the type of food, according to the Minchas Chinuch. Mishnah Berurah disagrees. Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's all based on Kedei Achilas Pras Paschitin, which is a big chumrah when it comes to eating your Kazayas of Matzah. And according to the Minchas Chinuch, you have to finish your Kazayas of Matzah in the amount of time that the average person could eat 6 Kazayasim of Matzah, 3 Kibetzim of Matzah. So whatever your shear of kezias is, you have 6 times that shear for the amount of time that you have to eat that shear. And so the idea of stuffing your face really fast, according to the Minchas Chinuch, makes no sense whatsoever. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it makes a little more sense, because according to the Mishnah Berurah, the shear is defined as how long it would take you to eat a kezias of bread, and bread you could eat a lot more quickly than you could eat matzah. Rav Shach always thought that we should pass like the Minchas Chinuch on that. He always told us to do like the Minchas Chinuch. But in terms of practically, how long is a Kedei Achilas Pras, the Shitos range from 9 minutes to about 3 minutes. Mar Cheshes holds 3 minutes, Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he says 9 minutes, and you have everything in between. Rav Moshe in the tshuva Nor Chaim Chilik Dalet Simen Mem Alef says the shear of 9 minutes is not mistavra at all, and he thought that if you have a chol on Yom Kippur, you could be makel to wait 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes, and let him eat every 4.5 minutes. Typically, if a person actually eats every 9 minutes, typically, most cases that I've been involved with, at least, they didn't need more than that. That if they were religious about keeping the clock and eating every 9 minutes, it was plenty of liquid and plenty of food for them to be able to make it on Yom Kippur. But if need be, Rav Moshe says 4.5 minutes is perfectly fine as well. And there are shittos that hold every number in between 3 and 9 minutes. Okay, so that's one halacha. The Kedei Achilas Pras, that's chita. Sa'ora, what's the halacha of sa'ora? Ditanan. Etzem kesa'ora, a bone the size of a sa'ora, the size of a barley, metame b'maga b'masa ve'ena metame ba'oel, is metame if you touch it or if you carry it, but it's not metame by just being in the same room as it. So this comes up every once in a while. We had the shaila with the dentists that use actual bones in making the fake teeth. So is that a problem to put into a kohen that he's being metame with an etzem kesa'ora? Or his problem with the dentist is a kohen, so it's certainly not a problem of being in the same ohel, of being in the same room. You're allowed to go to the dentist's office, but the question is that's a discussion in the poskim. Is it different enough? Is it changed enough? Is it less than the sa'ora? Okay. Gefen, what's the shear of Gefen? Kedei revius yayin lenazir. That's the halacha that a nazir is not allowed to drink a revius of wine. That's the most direct of all of them, because it's actually about Gefen. It seems to be actually about wine. So Rashi points out, it's not only about wine. When it comes to anything that a nazir is not allowed to have, nazir is not just usher to have wine. A nazir is not allowed to have any grape products. So how do we determine how many raisins a nazir is not allowed to have? Well, he's not allowed to have any, but how do we determine what the shear of the onesh for a nazir is going to be when it comes to raisins? Says Rashi, we use yayin as the determinant, which would mean normally when you're dealing with the shear and you would use liquid displacement, you'd have to figure out how much is a revius of, let's say, a solid food. So how do you figure out a revius of a solid food? You'd put the solid food in water and see if when a revius of water flows out of the cup. So that's how you know that you have a revius. But by measuring the shirim of a nazir, you would use wine instead of water. Well, what difference does it make? If it's displacement, it's a liquid. What difference does it make, wine or water? So Rashi points out, wine is much thicker, so it would go up on the brim of the cup before it spills over a lot more. So since wine is much thicker, it's slightly different water displacement than you would have with wine than you would with water. Te'ena, what's the shear of te'ena? Kegrogros lotzah Shabbos, that the shear is the size of a fig when you carry food on Shabbos. In Masechah Shabbos, we go through all different types of things that a person might carry and what the minimum shear is for all different types of things. But when it comes to carrying food, the shear is a grogris. Rimon, what's the shear of a pomegranate? It's none. Kol klei balei batim, shearim kerimonim. all kelim of balabatim, if you want to determine when it loses its status of a kli, how broken does it have to be to lose its status of a kli? If it has a hole in the kli that's larger than a rimon, where pomegranates won't be able to be held in that kli because they'll fall through that hole, then that kli is broken, and that kli is no longer considered a real kli. Therefore, it's no longer tame. It's no longer considered tame like a kli. But if the holes in the kli are smaller and they belong to a private individual, they don't belong to a businessman who's selling the kli. They belong to, because if you're selling something, even smaller holes would disqualify it from being sold. But if it's your own private individual's kli, so and it can at least hold rimonim. So then it's big enough. The hole is small enough to still consider it to be a kli. Now the Mishnah in Kelim Tosfos points out when it quotes this halacha, the Mishnah says harimonim sha'amru shlosha achuzim zebaze. When we talk about rimonim, we're talking about three that are attached to each other. So Tosfos just wonders, because there are many sugis in Shas, including this one, which make it sound like it's not that the hole less than the size of three rimonim would still make it a kli. It's a hole less than the size of one rimon that would still make it a kli. So why does it? What's this halach of three rimonim achuz and zeba zeh? So Tosfos has a few possibilities. One possibility he says is that it means three rimonim achuz and zeba zeh, and you're motzi them zeh achar zeh. There are three that are connected, but you take them out one at a time. Which some understand l'chumra and some understand l'kula. Some understand that if you have three things connected and you take them out one at a time, the hole needs to be a little bit bigger than if you're just taking one out, because you have to angle it in such a way where they're still connected as you're removing them. Others understand the opposite direction. No, if you have three, the weight that weighs down as you're pulling it through contributes to its ability to fall through. So since it's connected, it's a little more weighty, so it might be able to fit through a slightly smaller hole. Tosfos also suggests that maybe this is about the size. When we say that it's three that are connected, when three pomegranates grow together, connected, they're going to grow a little bit smaller than a pomegranate that grows all on its own. So he says maybe that's the difference, that it's telling us the size of the rimon that has to be able to still fit in the kli. Eretz Zeis Shemen, so the pasuk goes on tell us that it's a land of Zeis Shemen, of oil, of olive oil. So that means Eretz Shekol Shiurei Kazayisim. That refers to all the halachos of Shiurim. They always relate to a Kazayis. So Kol Shiurei Sal Kazayitach, what? Every Shiur is a Kazayis? Hikani Darmina. We just mentioned a whole bunch of Shiurim that are not a Kazayis. We mentioned a Shiur of a Rimon, and a Chita, and a Saura, and a Geffen. So what do you mean every Shiur is a Kazayis? Eleima Sharov Shiurei Kazayisim. Now that obviously doesn't mean every Shiur is a Kazayis, but the majority of shiurim are a kezayis. Rashi writes mace and nevela, the yisur chelev, the yisur dam, the yisur pigel, nosar tame, gila nasha. All of those seem to be good examples. Why is the yisur dam though a kezayis? Generally speaking, when we deal with solids, the yisur is a kezayis. When you deal with liquids, the yisur is generally speaking a revius. So it sounds like even if, from Rashi, even when you're shosa dam, even if it's not dam karush, even if it's not congealed dam, that the shear is going to be a kezayis. The Rambam writes in Machlos Asuros, hochel kezayis min adam b'mezid chayev kares. So why is the shear of dam kezayis? The Gemara says it in a few places. It mentions kezayis dam, but some of the Rishonim say it's referring to dam karush, but that is congealed dam, that's a solid. But if it sounds from Rashi, sounds from the Rambam, that even if it's a liquid, the shear is a kezayis and not a revius. So Reb Chaim explains, quoted in Birch Savram, that Reb Chaim explained that the shear of the isra achila shebe kezayis is not talui in the type of food, but rather in the lashon that the Torah uses to tell us the isra. The way the Torah says v'kol dam lo sochelu, it says that you're not allowed to eat any dam. It uses the lashon of achila when it describes the isra of dam. So since it said lashon achila, memela the shear is a kezayis and the shear is not a revius, that we follow the lashon haTorah rather than the reality of whether the food itself is a solid or a or a liquid. And he says that's why when it comes to truma as well, the Torah says that a zar is not allowed to eat truma. So what if a zar drinks truma? Is the shear a kezayis or is the shear a revius? So the Rambam Hilchos Trumos Paragid Halacha Beis says kezayis. Why would the shear be a kezayis if you're drinking, let's say, truma wine? Why would it be a kezayis? No, because since it's a lashon, the isra of achilas truma is said belashon achila, so that's how we know that it's got to be a kezayis. Dvash. What do we learn from Dvash? Kikosevas hagasa b'yoma kipurim. That Dvash, Rashi points out, means anything really sweet, including dates. So the size of a date, of Yom Kippur, of a large date, is the shear for Yom Kippur. Almadar rice and inu, but all of this was just one big question. How can we say that Shirin Mar Alach Lamoshe Misinai? We just went through this pasuk one by one, and every single word in this pasuk teaches us a shir, another shir. So you see, all Shirin Mar Dar Raisa, they're not just Alach Lamoshe Misinai, they're learned directly from Pasukim. So it says Mar Vitizma Shirin Miksivi. Are any of those shirim really in the pasuk? Elahilchsan in Vikras Machta Bialmahu. No, it's all Alach Lamoshe Misinai. The pasuk is simply in a smachta. The pasuk is not actually teaching me these halachas. The pasuk is clearly only in a smachta. None of these, it's just mentioned a bunch of foods. It didn't say anything about these foods, anything that would indicate any of these halachos of shirim. The Rishonim raised the question that in the Gemara in Brachos sounds like this is a drasha gemura, not just an asmachta, because the Gemara says that Amar Rav Yosef Itam Rav Yitzchak kalam muktam bepasuk zeh muktam lebracha, that whatever comes early in this pasuk, halacha is you say the if you have all these minim in front of you, whatever comes earlier in the pasuk you would say a bracha on first. And the Gemara says upliga Rabbi Chanan, and that argues in Rabbi, because Rabbi Chanan said the whole pasuk is about shiurim. What do you mean, pligas Rabbi Chanan? Maybe Rabbi Chanan was just telling us an asmachta, that the real din is halacha l'moshe b'sinai, it's just an asmachta, and still we can derive halacha from this pasuk, the halacha filchus brachos, that call a muktam a pasuk is muktam lebracha. So Tosus says, ein achinami. According to the maskan of the Gemara, that shiurim iksivi midrabban v'kras smachta b'alma, it turns out that it's not pligas Rabbi Chanan. That pligas Rabbi Chanan is only according to the havamina, that it's not Alach l'moshe misina, but in a chenami, maybe l'maskana, there is no machlokas, and that both of the halach of shiurim is halach l'moshe misina, the halach of kedima by brachos is what's actually derived from the pasuk. Other Rishonim say that maybe the din of kalam muktam b'pasuk is muktam lebracha. Maybe that's also an asmachta, and that's why it's able to say pligad Rabbi Chanan. How many asmachtas can you have from one pasuk? I don't know, why not? If it depends how you understand asmachta, maybe. If you understand that asmachta is simply a mnemonic, so why not? Why can't you have several asmachtas from one pasuk? The fact that several Rishonim seem to assume that you can't have multiple asmachtas from one pasuk tells you that maybe asmachta is a little bit more like the Ritva says, and not like the Rambam says in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, chatzitz in daraisin. And so ask the Gemara, what about chatzitz? How can you say chatzitz is halach l'moshe misinai? Chatzitz is also daraisa. Where do we see chatzitz? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says v'rachat, and we darshan shloi davar chotzitz beino levin amayim, that one cannot have a chatzitza between his body and the water within which he is being tovel. So you see that it's a din do raisa, that it's not a din that's halach l'moshe misinai. And the Gemara kiasai hilchsa l'sa'aro. Now the din do raisa is about your body. The halach l'moshe misinai tells us that there can't even be a chatzitza in one's hair. Kedarava barachana dam rava barachana nima achas kshura chotzetzes. If you have one hair that has a knot in it, so that's chatzitza. Shalosh einen chotzos, three that are connected to each other that are knotted together is not a chatzitza, because the assumption is that when three are knotted together, the knot is not as tight, and therefore water might be able to get in between them. Shtayim ein yodeh, but two hairs that are knotted together, not sure. But if it's definitely a knot in one hair, that is going to be a chatzitza. So that's what comes from halach l'moshe misinai. Ask the Gemara, saru nami daraisa ninu. What are you talking about? Hair is also a din daraisa. Chatzitz on hair is also daraisa. Dichsiv v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim. And we darshan, what is es? Es hatafel b'saro comes to include even that which is not your actual basar, but that which is tafel to the basar. Umay nihu saro, and that refers to one's hair. So already in the pasuk it refers to a chatzitza on hair. How can you say that hair is halach l'moshe misinai? Which part of chatzitza is halach l'moshe misinai? So kiasai hilchasa l'chad Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the halach l'moshe misinai is for Rabbi Yitzchak's din. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah rubo makvid alav chotzeitz. On a daraisa level, only when the chatzitza covers a majority of the person's body, plus it's something that he's makvid that he doesn't want there, only then would it be a chatzitza mida oraisa. V'she'eno makvid alav, eno chotzeitz. If it's something that a person's not makvid on, so then it's not a chatzitza. V'gazra al rubo she'eno makvid, mishum rubo amakvid. However, they made a gezerah that something that covers a majority of the body, even if you want it there, even if you're perfectly happy with it there, that's a chatzitza midrabanan, a gezerah atu rubo hamakvid, atu something that covers a majority of the body that you are makvid about. That's a very uncommon chatzitza d'rabbanan. I have yet to be asked a shaila that really is about a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body that a person is not makbid about, because there aren't that many things that would cover the majority of your body that you're not makbid about. Someone once asked me about a spray tan. I thought that maybe would be a shaila about a rubo amakbid, but it turns out that it just becomes part of your skin. After you take a shower and you wash off any excess, the rest of it just it goes away when you shed your skin. It actually just becomes part of your skin, so it's not a chatzitza at all. But valmiuta, so I still haven't come up with a good example of a rubo she'eno makbid, where do you have a robe that you're not makbid about? And they were also goes there, and this is the more common one, valmiuto amakbid, something that covers a minority of the person's body that you are makbid about, that you don't want there. A woman goes to the mikveh and discovers that she took nail polish off of 9 out of her 10 nails, and there's one that she didn't. So that's a minority of the body, and certainly she would be makbid. It would look silly for her to walk out like that, so she would be embarrassed by that. So that's something she would certainly be makbid about. That would be a chatzitza midrabbanan, mishum rubo amakbid. Now, just because it's a chatzitza midrabbanan doesn't mean it's we treat it leniently. We, if she comes back from the mikveh, we make her go back if she finds a chatzitza midrabbanan. I frak the Gemara v'ligzer nami al miyuto she'eno makbid mishum miyuto hamakbid. So why don't we make an additional gzera, and we should say that even something that's on a tiny part of her body that she's not even makbid about should be aser atu a miyut hamakbid, because if a miyut hamakbid is a problem, so miyut she'eno makbid should also be a problem. Says Gemara inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid or atu rubo she'eno makbid. Let it be a problem even when you have a miyut she'eno makbid. And so Gemara higuf a gzera v'ana nekum v'nigzer gzera l'gzera. The very idea of a rubo she'eno makbid, the very idea of a miyut hamakbid being a chatzitza, are themselves only gzeros midrabanan, atu a rubo hamakbid, which is a din d'oraisa. You're not going to make an additional gzera on the already existing gzera. That would be a violation of making a gzera l'gzera. So that far, we're not going to go. Tosus just points out on the top, Tvar Torah rubo hamakbid lev chotzeis yeich mefarshim dahach ha'eri b'seyar avul b'basar chotzeis afilu miyuto she'eno makbid. He says that there are some shitos that this whole din, that only a rubo hamakbid is a chatzitza, and on a d'oraisa level, and on a d'rabbanan level, either rov or makbid, and the miyuto she'eno makbid is nothing, that's only true by hair. But on the rest of the body, even a miyut she'eno makbid is a real chatzitza when it's on the rest of the body. That would be a tremendous chumrah if we would hold that. We do not hold this way, but that would be a tremendous chumrah. That would mean anything, any speck of anything that a woman finds on her body after the mikvah would send her back to the mikvah. It would mean that that it was a chatzitza. But Tos points out that this is incorrect, this shita. Because of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant and goes through Gerus. The Gemara says her child does not require tvila. Uparach, and the Gemara asks, am I? If you're going to say, oh, the reason the kid doesn't need tevila is because even though the mother was chatzitza in the tevila of the child, that chatzitza is a rubo sheino makbid, and therefore it should still be a valid chatzitza, valid tevila. No, that's only when you have rubo. But over here, it's kulo. The entire child is engulfed inside of the mother, is covered by the mother. So kulo is always going to be a chatzitza. Why does the Gemara say it like that? The Gemara should say, we're talking about the body. And if it's on the body, anything is a chatzitza, right? If this whole din of rubo and miyut and this and makbid, eno makbid, is all the din only in the hair, so the Gemara should have rejected it with it much more strongly. The Gemara shouldn't have just said, oh, there's difference between rubo and kulo. She said, forget about rubo. Rubo is not a din on the body. It's only a din in the hair. Elamai Yisit also says that this shita is incorrect, that all the halachas of rubo, makbid, they apply equally to the body and to the hair. We apply all of these halachos to the body. Now the Rama writes, the minag is, our minag is to try to avoid all chatzitzas. That even a very minor chatzitza, even a miyut she'eno makbid, we try to remove, but that's only a minag. And therefore, b'diavad, if a woman went to the mikvah with something that's a miyut she'eno makbid, so we're not going to make her go back if she discovers afterwards a miyut she'eno makbid. But let's say a woman says she has perfectly manicured nails and she's not makbid at all. Adrabah, she wants it to be there. She thinks it looks beautiful. And it's only only a miut of the body. So me ikra din, one could argue that is not a chatzitza midrabanan because it's a miut chain of makbid. So why won't the mikvah lady let her go? Why do we always make her remove the net? Because that's what the Rama writes. That's our minhag. The minhag is that we remove all potential chatzitzos, even that which is a miut she'eno makbid. Okay, mechitzin hadiamran. Now, what's the example of mechitza being halach l'Moshe Misinai? Well, what we just said about the 10 tefachim of a sukkah, that's halach l'Moshe Misinai. Says Mar Hanich l'Rav Yudah l'Rav Meir Ma'ikel Meimar. But now the tables are turned. What if you hold that we learn the din of 10 tefachim by a sukkah from the Aron and the Kapores, and because we assume that the Amos of Kalim in the Mishkan were 6 tefach Amos, and we can learn from the Aron and the Kapores. Then where's the halach l'Moshe Misinai of mechitza? Says the Gemara, ki asa hilchsa l'gud beloved v'dofen akuma. The halach l'Moshe Misinai teaches us about the halachas of good achis, good asik, about lavud, and about dofen akuma. That's the halach l'Moshe Misinai and mechitzas. V'shein l'shalosh tefanos. The Mishnah said that if a sukkah does not have 3 walls, it is not a kosher sukkah. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brayso who records a machlokas about this. Shtayim kilchasan v'shlish safilu tefach, Reb Shimon omer shalosh kilchasan, or reviyah safilu tefach. Tanakama says you need 2 plus walls. Reb Shimon holds you need 3 plus a tefach. So what exactly is the machlokas over here? Says the Gemara, 5 possibilities. Number 1, Rabbanan Savar Yeshem L'Masoris, Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem L'Mikro. When you have a Kri and a Ksiv, what do we darshan? Do we darshan the way that it is read, or do we darshan the way it was written, or do we darshan the way it is read? Rabbanan Savar Yeshem L'Masoris. The Rabbanan say we darshan the way it's written, and the way the word Basukos is written in 3 different occasions is twice Chaser and once Malay. Basukas, which are both assumed to be singular, Basukos, which is assumed to be plural. Sare kan arba. So Basukos is 2, and each Basukas is only 1, it's a total of 4. Dal chadugufei, one of these psukim is just needed for itself. So pashlu tlasa, you have 3 left to darshan the number of walls of a sukkah. Shtayim kilchasan, so you have 2 that you need to have at a right angle to each other. Basai hilchsa vigaris l'shlish l'svukma tefach. The halach l'moshe Misinai takes the 3rd one and knocks it down to only a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem l'mikra. He assumes that it's all how you read it. Basukos, basukos, basukos. We read it plural each time. Hare kan sheish, and therefore it's 3 times 2, it's 6. Dal chad kralugufei, but one of those times it says basukos, we need it just for its own meaning. So pashalu arba, we're left with 2 basukoses, which would mean 4 walls. Shalosh kilchasan, so it's 3 normal walls. Halach l'Moshe Misinai will take the 4th wall and make it only a tefach. Second understanding, maybe everyone says you go with the way you read it. Does schach require its own pasuk to teach me that schach is one of the walls? Because schach has dine mechitza as well. We apply lavud, which is the din of mechitza, to schach as well. Third possibility. Maybe everyone agrees that we go with the way that it is spelled. The question is, does Halach l'Moshe Misinai take the last wall and make it smaller? Or does Halach l'Moshe Misinai add an additional mashu in addition to the walls that it speaks about? A fourth possibility. Everyone agrees that Halach l'Moshe Misinai minimizes the last wall. And Yeshem l'Mesaris, we go with the way that we pronounce it, not the way that, we go with the way it's spelled, not the way that we pronounce it. The question is, do we need to use one legufei? Can you darshan even the one that's needed legufei? Can you darshan all of the words in the pasuk? If you're dorish tchilos, then you're going to end up with 3 plus walls. If you're not dorish tchilos, you're going to end up with 4 plus walls. And then the final answer, Rav Masna Martayim Rav Shimon Mehacha. Now Rav Shimon Svar of saying 3 plus is what you need is from the following. The sukkah apparently is supposed to protect us from the elements, including the wind. If you have a totally open wall on the 4th side and the third side is mostly open, sukkah is not going to do much protecting. So in order for a sukkah to really protect a person properly, it needs to have as many walls as possible. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up there tomorrow. All right.